unsearchable, writes Paul, his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory, for ever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Our opening hymn, number 103b. I haven't quite yet worked out what the A's and the B's. I had 100A this morning, the 103B, the A's and the B's. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. 103B, we'll stand together as we sing. Thank you, Gerald. Heads together as we come before God in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we rejoice that we are found in your presence again this evening. And we give you the glory, and Father, we give you the praise. Rightly it belongs to you, the one true God, from everlasting to everlasting, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, the one who rules and reigns with authority and power, our sovereign God, and we worship you, and we bow down before you, and thank you for the privilege. Bless us, Lord, and lead us and guide us. Together this evening we pray for your glory, that we may be conscious from the beginning to the end, that we are met together in your holy presence. And our God and Father, thank you for the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. how unsearchable your judgments and your paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to you that you should repay him? For from you and through you and to you are all things. To you be the glory forever and ever. Our Father, we thank you that we can come and worship. We thank you, our Father, for your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, our Father, for the third member of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. We praise you, O God, for him, one who came on the day of Pentecost in all of his power. We thank you for the promised presence of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Parakletos. We praise you and we worship you. And our Father, this evening, we thank you for our Bibles, for Scripture, for the infallible and inerrant Word of God. Holy men wrote down as they were moved by the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. All Scripture, writes Paul, is given by inspiration of God. And we thank you for this inspired and infallible and inerrant word. Bless your word to our hearts together this evening. Lord, we pray for your glory. So lead us and guide us and bless us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
Welcome to our evening service. Once again, we have the privilege of having Brother David Tucker, who would be delivering the Word of God this evening. And we once again warmly welcome him. Tomorrow we have officers' meeting at 7:30 p.m. And on Thursday, Bible study at 7:30 p.m. On Saturday, there is sisters' Bible study and breakfast at 9:30 a.m. In the evening, there is Bible study. That is Bible Feltham Bible Focus at Feltham Evangelical Church at 7 p.m. Next Sunday, the morning service will be led by Brother David Henderson. After the morning service, next Sunday, we will have Bring and Share Lunch, followed by Inspiration, which is open to all. Next Sunday's evening service will be led by Brother Jeff Coyne. Church Bulletin for the month of April is out, and you can find all the events there. If you'd like to have by email, please contact us. Otherwise, please visit our website, hwec.org.uk. Thank you. That concludes the notices.
Thanks, Victor. Thank you, Victor, for the welcome and a joy to be with you. I mentioned this morning, if you weren't here, we've got some copies of our prayer news, and this actually is February 1. That is the last one we have done, but details in here of our visit to Burma, which was October and November last year. And God willing, my wife and I will be there in Burma again, October, November this year. So we would value your prayers. But before that, we go next week to the United States, and we leave on the 18th. We fly out of an airport near here somewhere. Is there an airport around here? Heath something or other, is it? Heath something or other. And we fly to New York, and then we go down to Memphis, and I have 6 Sundays of ministry. We're away for 6 weeks altogether. 6 Sundays of ministry, plus a pastor's conference, and other opportunities with mission societies. So we would value your prayers if you remember us, please. For those of us who get our email circulars, and if you want to be added to that list, give me your email address afterwards. The itinerary for that will be coming out this coming week. So we're off to the United States and then Burma later in the year. I mentioned this morning, Victor kindly mentioned your website. Can I mention ours? Because on there are 631 Bible studies by my late father-in-law, given years ago at Lansdowne Baptist Church in Bournemouth, and also 300 audio messages by him on there as well, which you can pop in and hear and look at the text of the Bible studies. As I mentioned this morning, the total number of visits to that website for the month of March, 31 days just gone, was 121,495. That is worldwide, of course, and we thank God for these opportunities. You can see it, we get it on Google Analytics, one of these gadgets that tells you about the number of visits, and sometimes we're running over 4,000 a day. So we thank God for these opportunities for the word to go out around the world. I'm going to read this evening from Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 to 13. And if you have the church Bible, then I can tell you that it's page 899. Different page number in my Bible, but 899 in the church Bible. I think it will appear up here so you can follow along. Daniel chapter 12 and verses 1 through to verse 13, the whole of the chapter. Daniel 12 and verse 1. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress, such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand towards heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the Holy Spirit, holy people, has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. We'll stop there and ask that God will richly bless his holy word to our hearts together this evening. Going to sing now, number 231. 231, it will appear on the wall, but if you need the book, 231, "Sweet is the Work, My God, My King." To praise your name, give thanks and sing, to show your love by morning light, and talk of all your truth at night. 231, thank you, Gerald.
And talk of all your truth
let my heart in tune be found, light is a cup of joyful sound. My heart shall triumph in the Lord, and bless His works, and bless His words. God's works of grace, how bright they shine, how deep the counsel, how divine. Soon shall I see and hear and know all I desire on earth below. All that is evil then shall Satan no longer break my peace. No more shall I be snared by sin, vexing my mind and heart within. Lord, all my powers for God employ, in that eternal world of joy. Bow our heads together again as we come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this evening for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, wrote the Apostle Paul. And we believe that, our God and our Father, that when your word is proclaimed and God the Holy Spirit is at work, you are able to break into the hardest of hearts, to break down all the barriers of resistance and opposition and rebellion, and to lead people to that point of repentance, conviction of sin, and of faith in Jesus Christ. Our Father, we thank you for the message we have in our hands, in our Bibles, this glorious message of hope and of life, of forgiveness, and of our Father God, eternity spent in glory. And our Father God, we look up, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. As we quoted this morning, we are marching upwards to Zion, the beautiful city of God. And our Father, we believe that one day soon we will be there, clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. No condemnation to those who by faith believe in the Lord. Christ died in our place, shed His precious blood that we might be redeemed, purchased our salvation at great and immense cost. And Father God is risen, ascended and exalted at your right hand. And O God, we thank you and we praise you. And Father, we ask as your word goes forth, has gone forth already today in countries around the world who are ahead of us time-wise, and those who are behind us, as your word has gone out and will go out, we just pray that there may be a harvest of souls coming to know and to find Christ as Lord and as Saviour. Father, we just ask that you will move in the days in which we are living, that you will raise up a voice or voices in our own nation to call this people to repentance. We are living in difficult times. We are living, Father God, in a day when the mentality outside in the nation and the culture of the nation is opposite to your will. Father God, we just long that we might see folk coming to know the Saviour before it's too late. And the door is closed and the opportunity has gone. Father, we remember missionaries who've gone forth in your name, serving you on the foreign mission field, those known to us. We can picture them in our mind's eye, know where they are working and serving you. Bless them and be with them and encourage them. Watch over them, O God, we ask, and use them sometimes when the way is hard, sometimes when the way is difficult. Just grant them encouragement. Father God, joy in their hearts that they are serving the risen Christ. They are serving the living God, and that their work and labor is not in vain. That one day they will hear the well done, good and faithful servant. Bless those, Lord, serving you as overseas, and be with them and watch over them, Lord, we pray. Bless those serving you here at home, in the city missions, among young people, Gideons distributing Bibles and New Testaments. Bless them all and watch over them, O God, we ask, and use, Father God, for your glory. Father, for those working in hospitals, for those working in prisons, for those working wherever, for those working on the streets, for those going out day by day faithfully with that living message, encourage them and bless them. Father, we pray that even this coming week, those who do not know you at this very moment will be rejoicing next Sunday that they know the Lord Jesus in their hearts and in their lives. So bless, O God, we pray. And our Father, we ask this evening your blessing upon this congregation and fellowship. What a joy to hear of the coming among this number of John Scott as pastor. And we pray that you will bless him, be with him, equip him, and Father God, use him. And as he and his wife settle in, living here in the manse, living here in Hounslow West, bless them, O God, we pray. And may the joy of the Lord which maketh rich radiate out from this place. And Father God, be an impact in the immediate neighborhood and further afield. Father God, those realizing a loving fellowship and what that fellowship can mean to them and what Jesus Christ has done for them. So our Father, bless this congregation, those in leadership, and bless your servant John. And bless and be with and use him, we pray, in the coming days and weeks and months for your glory, we ask our Father, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Hymn number 403. My song is Love Unknown, my Saviour's love for me, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. 403. It's got seven verses, but we can sing all seven, can't we? We can sing all seven. Is that all right, Jake? We can sing all seven. Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. fight and fight. He made the lame to run and gave the blind their sight. Not injuries, yet these are why the Lord Most High so cruelly chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3 this evening, page 899 in your Bibles. It may come up on the wall, I believe, behind me as well. Daniel chapter 12 and verses 2 and 3. Let me read them to you. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. I said this morning, if you were here, that I always put a title over a message. I'm preparing the rough notes, if I can get in a title. The sum up may be what it is we're sharing together, and put it down on the top of that piece of paper, and then on my notes that I speak from. The title tonight is simply this, shining like the stars. Shining like the stars. Daniel, here, last chapter, he's winding up his prophecy. All of the visions, the dreams, and the interpretations are past. And he's concluding here with what you have in chapter 12, the end times. And I believe we're in them. Our Lord Jesus Christ could say that from the first coming of our Lord until his second coming would be the last days. And I sometimes say to folk, we are in the last of the last days. Surely it cannot be long before our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. So here we are, end times, last of the last days, and you get this salutary warning here in verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. I think it was this morning in the service I said there are those, and we prayed it in a prayer, those who've lost their lives through tragic circumstances this past week in London. Some who were here abounding in life and energy this time last Sunday, now in eternity. Now in eternity. And we live on the edge of life and of death. And who knows? Now, these words here in verse reference in the margin of my Bible with three passages. First of all, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 19, where the prophet says this, but your dead will live, their bodies will rise. You who dwell in the dust, wake up and shout for joy. Your dew is like the dew of the morning. The earth will give birth to her dead. Or as the King James Version has it, that last part there, forward, cast out her dead. The earth will cast out her dead. Then in Matthew 25, verse 46, another cross-reference, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And then, of course, those well-known words of our Lord Jesus Christ, John 5, 28 and 29, do not be amazed at this, said our Lord, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Timothy Mang, who is the founder and the president of the Biblical School of Theology in Yangon, Burma, where Mary and I have been going each year for many years now. I've been going since 2001. And go each year, and I teach the fourth years. My wife teaches the pastors and missionaries' wives. We have 3 weeks, 4 week weekends there in November. And Timothy was here with his son, one of his sons, Issachar, and year before last. And he said to me, Issachar wants to see some of the sites of London, the spiritual sites, and Metropolitan Tabernacle, Westminster Chapel, and so on and so forth. But there was one that I took them to when I was driving through, round the South Circular. We went into the West Norwood Cemetery. And I drove them through, and I stopped, and I said, that's C.H. Spurgeon's grave. And they got out, they took pictures, and Issachar, Timothy's son, said to me, only a young man, is this really the grave of C.H. Spurgeon? I said, yes. And his wife. And there we were in this, not over massive cemetery, but a lot of graves there and a lot of old ones. And you can stand there in a place like that, or where one of my wife's aunts was buried a few years ago, Southgate Cemetery, on the north side of London. Thousands of graves. And every one of these is going to be open one day, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. I believe when we die as believers, absent from the body, present with the Lord, in glory. To the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, said the Lord, you will be with me in paradise. But the resurrection of the body, we're going to have a new resurrection body. We won't need glasses, we won't need hearing aids, we won't need additions to our teeth if you need them, and all of these other things that go with aging. And there's coming that time when the graves will be open. And here, Daniel has in mind the general resurrection, the resurrection of everyone, believers and unbelievers. For us believers, there is therefore now, writes Paul, Romans 8:1, no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. The unbeliever will be raised to stand before that great white throne of judgment. Depart from me, for I do not know you. And to those, my dear friends, I put this in this evening here, to those out in the world who say, I don't believe this, when I die, I go out like a light, I will be extinguished, there is nothing after this life, I will be buried, that's it, finished. They are, my dear friends, in for a rude awakening. Our God has the power to open all of the graves, and every one will be opened in West Norwood Cemetery. C.H. Spurgeon will have a new body. So will his dear wife and other believers in that cemetery. Same as Southgate and all of the cemeteries around the world. The sea will give up her dead. And so we could go on. And those who have denied these things will stand before a just and a holy God to give an account. To give an account. Those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I trust you do, as Lord and Savior, that judgment was met for us by the Lord Jesus Christ when he died in our place. But then you see, after the salutary warning of verse 2, comes the timely words of verse 3. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. In other words, what Daniel is saying here, in very practical and down-to-earth terms, in the last chapter of his prophecy, is this. In the light of what's gone before, verse 2, there's something to be done now. And that is to work and to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to shine and we are to lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Joyce Baldwin, in her Tyndale commentary on Daniel's prophecy, comments on these verses, and I turned it up, and she says this: those who lead others to righteousness then are those who demonstrate their faith and encourage others to faith. Then she goes on and says, and this the humblest believer can do. The humblest believer can do. Here is a mission. Daniel's saying, really, isn't he? In his prophecy, here is a mission, and we can all be involved. Against the background of verse 2, the resurrection and the coming judgment, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. My wife's brother, in other words, my brother-in-law, another David, there's only one David in Scripture. There's been tons of us ever since. My brother-in-law David, when he was 75 a few years ago, he thought he should write his story, his testimony. He wrote it just on a little, I've got one here, a little leaflet, 4 pages on A5, that's all. This is my story. And he lives in a cul-de-sac in a town in Gloucestershire, and his house, he and his wife Jan, their house is the first one in on the right. And then all the other houses up the road to a dead end. And he thought, all of these people who pass our door, morning and evening, through the day, everything else, I'm going to write my story, my testimony, and go and give it to every person in our road. And he did. Wrote it out. And went and gave it, knocked on the doors, and said, here you are. I thought you might be interested to see this and to read it. If I can help you further, I'd love to. The story of how he went into the ministry, how he and his wife went to the mission field, how he's pastored churches over here in the United Kingdom, and what he's doing now, and so on. Was he wise? The answer is yes. According to Daniel, those who are wise to share our faith. So, heading number one this evening, I got three, would be simply this: light. Heading number one, light. Shine like the brightness of the heavens, verse 3, like the stars forever and ever, verse 3. You've got light here. One of the great I Ams of our Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel, John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then in John 1:9, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Then Ephesians 5, verse 8, for you once were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, as children of the light. See, the impact and the emphasis here is simply this. Those outside, all around us, our neighbors, some of our relatives, friends, colleagues at work, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, are living in darkness. Not in the light of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that true light, the true light, has come in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the light. And we have seen the light. We're in the light. We are to share the light. We're to shine like the brightness of the heavens. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, that well-known chapter, John 3, Nicodemus, there in John 3 and verse 19, our Lord said these words, this is the verdict, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You know, we live, do we not, in a nation and in a world of vast contrasts. Stark contrasts. Good versus evil. Righteousness versus unrighteousness. Light versus darkness. And that's the world we live in. Men loved darkness. And in Ephesians 6 verse 12, Paul could write, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world." And we can see powers of this dark world around us. Men loved the darkness. Loved the darkness. A gentleman used to live opposite us at home in Chalmersford, which is halfway between Southampton and Winchester. Harry Bennett's his name. And one October afternoon, we noticed an ambulance had pulled up outside his front door. And the medics had gone in. Obviously, Harry had been taken unwell. He suffered with a breathing problem. And about 6 p.m., they brought him out on the stretcher to the ambulance outside of his house and put him in the back of the ambulance, and off they took him to Winchester Hospital. 6 p.m. At 2 a.m., his house was burgled. Now, I maintain someone saw, someone said whatever, and they waited till the cover of darkness. And it wasn't until just an ordinary lady from up our street was walking past with her dog in the morning, and she happened to notice the house had been burgled. Downstairs window being broken open. And you sort of then see the word of God. Men love the darkness because their deeds are evil and dark. We have here the light of the gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are to shine like the stars. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Used to sing in the Sunday school. This little light of mine. So we went on. I'm going to let it shine. That's what we are called to do. Heading number one, light. Heading number two, life. Some, says Daniel here in verse 2, to everlasting life. Others, to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, from the beginning to the end, the Bible speaks of life, doesn't it? Everlasting life. And this is our great hope. Paul, in his great resurrection chapter, I quoted another verse from it this morning, but verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15. If we had not this hope, we would be of all men most miserable. We would. We have this hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:10. Our Lord Jesus Christ could say, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it to the full." Genesis 3, paradise lost. When I start on the Monday morning, the first Monday morning of my 2 weeks for the 4th year in Yangon, the Biblical School of Theology, I sometimes say to them, "Let's just stand back for a moment, see the big picture. Here is the big picture. You just stand back before you come up and look closely at the passages of Scripture we're going to be studying. The big picture is simply this: Genesis 1 and 2, creation. Genesis 3, the fall. When man turned his back upon God, ate of the forbidden fruit, was cast out of paradise. Then I say to them, Genesis 4 to Revelation 22, redemption. Redemption. Creation 1 and 2, the fall in Genesis 3, 4 of Genesis to Revelation 22, to the end of the Bible, is redemption, life. Paradise lost, spiritual death, and physical death came in as well. But through Jesus Christ, paradise is restored, life now and in eternity. Remember, dear old Paul, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 and 10. This grace was given us, he writes, in Christ Jesus, before the beginning of time. It has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Wait a minute, Paul. Any day you're waiting there in Rome, this is the last letter you wrote, that we have in our Bibles, chronologically, you're waiting there in Rome any moment for them to come and take you out and to martyr you, and you're telling us Christ has destroyed death. But the Apostle Paul knew, didn't he? The sting of death has been drawn. Absent from the body for a believer is to be present with the Lord Jesus Christ. And he destroyed death, and our Lord has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I had a lady in the church, the last church that I pastored in Cheltenham, came and joined the church, come to the town to retire, and they were one with us, and God bless them. Then we left the church at the end of 1997. A few years after that, we heard that the wife, Joyce, had passed away. We couldn't attend the funeral, so we sent a letter to her husband, Douglas, and to her son, John, and the other members of the family, as you do, and said that we will be thinking of you on the day of the Thanksgiving service, and we are assuring you of our prayers and send you our love and our sympathy and all else that you say on occasions like this. And a week or two after the Thanksgiving service, a little card came with a black edge, and it came from them, and it just said, "Douglas and John Lax and family wish to thank you for your good wishes, the time of the home call of a beloved wife and mother." And so it went on, and then down the very bottom, eight words. Eight words. And the eight words were these: not a hopeless end, but an endless hope. And that's our assurance. That is our hope. Not a hopeless end, but an endless hope. And this gospel, this message on our lips, this message in our hands, is one of hope and one of life. And it is, I believe, the greatest message there is. No more death. It has passed away. In heaven, no hearses, no funerals, no coffins, no cemeteries. The old order has gone. The residence of heaven, life eternal. Someone once said, and it's very true, we only die once and for so long. We only die once and for so long. Sometimes I've summed it up another way in a couplet. Once born, once to die. Twice born, never to die. I was born physically umpteen years ago now. I was born again, as I said to the youngsters this morning, when I was five. Twice born, never to die. To go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the time when the call comes for me down here to leave this earth. So first of all, you see light here. Secondly, you see life. Thirdly, love. What drives us? What compels us? What sends us out to those around us who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? What is going to cause us to shine like the stars? Something has happened inside, and we radiate the love of Christ. We reflect the love of Christ, and he sends us out. Dear old Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Christ's love compels us. Christ's love drives us out. That's the love of God to you and to me. It's the love of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's God's love at the heart of the gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. And we are to love him because he first loved us and powerfully. And he has revealed that love to us through the sacrifice of his Son for us upon the cross. We must ask the question, how much do we love him? How much do we love them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. We are all commanded to go. Great Commission at the end of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 28:19. Therefore go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Those who are wise. Another couple, they retired down to Bournemouth years ago in the 1970s. Came along to Lansdowne. Bill Bates was the husband's name. And they settled into the church. And it was great to have them. Bill came onto the diaconate. I was on the diaconate at that time, all those years ago. And he was a colleague on the diaconate. So there came a day when Bill had been taken unwell, and after all the tests were run in hospital, they diagnosed he had a rare form of leukemia. Cancer of the blood. A rare form. And he was referred to a consultant hematologist. The hematologist he was referred to was a young fellow by the name of Terry Hamblin. Terry Hamblin had come down to Bournemouth, he qualified and everything else. At the age of 30, he qualified as a consultant. This fellow was climbing the ladder, and climbing the ladder fast. And Bill Bates was referred to him, went to see him on the first appointment. Terry Hamblin was not a Christian. And Terry Hamblin subsequently told me, he said, when Bill Bates came in to see me, he said this was altogether different. He said he came in and I invited him to sit down, and he looked at me across my desk and he said, Doctor, I want to say this to you at the very beginning. My heart and life is entrusted to Almighty God. Jesus Christ, God's Son, is my Lord and my Savior. And I know that whatever you may have to share with me, be it good or be it not good today, when I leave this earthly scene, I am going home to glory to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Terry said, I'd never heard anything like that before. And he said, it was a time in my life, he said, I got to the top of the ladder in a sense at a young age. But he said, I knew I had no hope for anyone beyond the grave. No hope, no expectancy whatsoever. So he dealt with Bill on this first occasion and said, well, now, Mr. Bates, I will need to see you again in a month or two, whatever it was. And Bill Bates went in and he said the second time, I want to say to you again, doctor, come and hear our preacher. Come and hear our pastor preach the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. For my life is safe in God's hands. And he went through it again. And Terry Hamblin said to me, David, this was altogether different. He said, the customers, or the patients, I should say, that he said I was accustomed to having come in, would come in and sit down and say, Doctor, what have I got? Doctor, how long have I got? Doctor, what can you do? And he said the questions would come at me almost as from a gun. This man was totally different. And he came a third time and said, why don't you come and hear our pastor? So this went on. Each time he was inviting him to come to the church. One Sunday morning, in October 1974, his wife, Terry's wife, Diane, said, why don't you go to that church that man's been recommending to you to go to? Let's go find it. And they went out on a Sunday morning, and he couldn't find the church. Big church, but he couldn't find it. You know, there were those of us who said, for all of his qualifications, he, on that first Sunday, couldn't find the church. That was the sovereignty of God. For on the Tuesday, after he come to find the church, Bill Bates was called home to glory. And the next Sunday, Diane said to her husband, let's go and find that church. But the word had not come through the system of the NHS yet, from his GP, Bill Bates' GP, that Bill Bates had died. So Terry didn't know. He found the church the Sunday after Bill had died. So I came in, it was a church with a gallery, across the back and down the sides. He said, we sat down here underneath the gallery. So the church was packed. So I was amazed to see this. So the preacher came in, the pastor came in, announced the opening hymn, the singing, he said. Never heard anything like it before. And he said it could have raised the roof. And at the opening prayer and another hymn, Bible reading. He said it came to the time for the announcements. And the announcements were given, like Victor's given them tonight, with all of the things that are taking place. And at the end of the announcements, then the word from the pastor, my dear friends, most of you will have heard that our dear friend and brother, Bill Bates, was called home last Tuesday to be with his Lord. And Bill turned to his wife. I didn't know. And he said, I looked around a congregation, and he said, I saw a people who were sad. Someone they knew and loved had gone home to glory, died. They used that terminology. He said, I also looked and saw a congregation who were joyful and had hope and expectancy. Then he said, we had another hymn. Then came the sermon. And the preacher announced the text, and it was a text for that particular occasion, John 11:25. Jesus said to her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And John 11:25 and 26 was expounded and opened up. But the question at the end, Terry said, kept on coming with a pointed finger. And he said, it was as though it was pointing at me underneath the gallery over on this right-hand side of the church from the pulpit. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? The end of the message, he said, we sang the closing hymn, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son. He said, they lifted the roof on that one. And he said, we sat down after the benediction. I bowed my head and I gave my life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Terry grew spiritually in the church. A few weeks after he'd given his life to Christ, I baptized him. I baptized two doctors one Sunday night. A GP, who's still alive in Bournemouth, in his 90s now, and Terry. Baptized those two doctors. Terry grew through the church, became a deacon. After he'd matured spiritually, became an elder. Led the Sunday school, the junior church, for 11 years. Great pillar in that church down there in Bournemouth. January 2012, I was in Sri Lanka, ministering in churches and to pastors. And I got an email from my wife, Mary. Terry Hamblin's passed away. He was younger than me. My dear friends, he died with cancer. His obituary was in the Daily Telegraph and in the Times, because he'd worked in oncology all his life, and he was developing cures, he believed, for cancer and so on, medication and so forth. Devoted his life to it. One writer of the obituary, I think it was in the Times, said that wretched thing has taken even him. And I thought, yes, but I'd love to have been there in glory, wouldn't you? When dear old Terry came marching in, to hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. And somewhere within that throng, within that crowd, I guarantee, was Bill Bates. Bill Bates. Here's the question. Was Bill Bates wise? Of course he was. He shone like a light at a time when he might have said the other things. How long have I got? Can you do anything for me? No. He shared the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, the interesting thing is this. I do not know how many there will be in glory who were saved through Terry Hamblin. Saved through him. So you see the repercussions? How it moves out. One speaks to one and he's born again. Comes to the church Sunday after Bill had died. Hears the gospel loud and clear. Gives his heart to Christ. What a hope is ours. My dear friends, we, and I'm going to begin to close now, we are on a mission field, are we not? It's like a girl who went up the Stuart Briscoe at Cape and Ray years ago, and she was going from one foot to the other and said, I can't wait to get on the mission field. She thought the mission field was over the sea. and she's going abroad to get onto the mission field. I can't wait to get on the mission field. I can't wait to get on the mission field. And Stuart Briscoe, in his inimitable way, said, "My dear, look down between your 2 feet. You're already on it." And we are. Hounslow West is a mission field. London is a mission field. The United Kingdom is a mission field. The fields are white. Labourers few. And you know, it's summed up in that quotation, every life without Christ is a mission field. So every one of them out there without Christ is a mission field. Every life without Christ is a mission field. Every life with Christ is a missionary. And I believe that to be the truth. Everyone out there is a mission field. Every one of us who has this message that ought to be burning in our hearts and our souls is a missionary. So, dear old Daniel can put it like this: multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And there's anyone here this evening who doesn't know Christ as Lord and Saviour? Don't leave here without knowing the Lord. Confess your sin. Repent of your sin. Place your hand firmly in the hand of the Lord, who loves you, cares for you, died for you, rose again for you, and one day soon is coming again. We're living on the edge of eternity. And I thank God for the gospel of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads together in prayer, then we'll sing our closing hymn. Father God, we thank you again for your love and your goodness to us, your people. Thank you, our Father, for the message you've placed in our hands. May we not treat this lightly, but seriously. For we know, Lord, that we live on the edge of eternity. Father God, even since this service began, there are those who were alive at 6:30. Now, in eternity, they've passed away. Father God, the days are getting shorter, getting darker. Father God, we have the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. May we go forth in your name and tell of the love of our God, the love of Jesus Christ, and what the Lord has done for us. Lord, if there's someone here this evening who does not know you, Lord, open their heart, open their mind to the truth of the gospel, and draw them to the Lord Jesus. We pray, we beg, we plead, for Christ's sake. Amen. 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 616 as we close. 616. Go forth and tell, O Church of God, awake, God's saving news to all the nations take. Proclaim Christ Jesus, Saviour, Lord and King, that all the world his worthy praise may sing. 616. Thanks, Gerald.
your light and thank the Lord of truth. No man from far and
join together, shall we, in the words of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.